Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What'd you think in regards to our team that's on a bye this week? Uncertainty certainly surrounds the Browns for the rest of the season. Plenty to evaluate in the second half. Daryl Ryder, Andy Baskin, talk about it all in their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every game. You can subscribe to the podcast now, 92.3thefan.com on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution.
Click, click, click.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Menigan's in today for Andy. Rusty is in Amherst, home of the Steel Comets. What's up, Rusty?
How you doing, Rusty?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, first off, I want to give a quick shout-out to my buddy Jack, the homer. He constantly calls you guys defending Andrew Berry. You're probably familiar with him. But anyway, as far as last night goes,
nice.
It's not the fact that we've got too much invested in the one position, because we don't. We're paying Watson right now less per year than what Burrow and Jackson are making. But the problem is, we're not getting the results of a Burrow or a Jackson.
And there you go.
Exactly. And, you know, so regardless of that, the whole thing comes down to who is the one that wanted to get Watson. Was it Barry? Was it Stefanski? Or was it just the ownership talking to a street guy in the street again?
Rusty,
the problem is, Rusty, I don't think it's just one. That kind of move doesn't get made with one guy hammering the table and saying, we're going to do it.
Yes, it does. If he owns the team, it does.
That kind of move
is... The one guy's the owner. He can get done with one guy.
Exactly right.
And you can't fire that one guy.
Right. And Rusty,
exactly.
We might find out if somebody actually was banging the table for him at the end of the season if there's a change made.
This is true, too. But, you know, and as far as Stefanski goes, me and Jack always go back and forth about his value. The problem that I have with Stefanski is if he has full control of that team, he should have enough confidence that he should have sat Mayfield when Mayfield was hurt. And now he should have made a change at quarterback a little bit quicker before we had to wait for him to get hurt. That's why we all cheered him getting hurt. It wasn't because we are happy or anything against Watson personally. That's the only way we knew he was going to make a change. Right. We had to make a change to see if Watson was the problem or not. Obviously, Winston isn't the answer, but I think we all know Watson is the problem.
All right, Rusty. Shouldn't cheer, period.
We're not going down that road.
Also, you're the head coach. You're not going to bench your franchise quarterback. And regardless of the level of play, it's the franchise commitment to the quarterback, and that's why the guy's been out there. Randy is in beautiful Akron, Ohio. What's up, Randy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Maybe you'll like one thing I ever have to say, but here's what my thinking is. You play Winston after the bye week. If they lose, even if he looks decent and they lose, don't you think it's time to try DTR the rest of the season? They're already out of it. See what this kid's got. Let him play 5-6 games, and then you have kind of an idea of where you're going to go next year. What do you think?
My thought on that is this. I think that the fan base, and it's because we all want a quarterback so badly, I think everybody's putting way too much stock into the let's see if DTR is a franchise quarterback. I think what DTR is probably set to be is a terrific quarterback in the league in a backup role for the next decade. Yeah. And I don't know if, you know, if he lights it up in practice and is really good, Randy, okay, well, then they can put him on the field. But I think it's a big leap of faith by everybody to think that DTR is going to step in and be the franchise quarterback.
Right. I agree. I don't even think he's going to be a good backup. He reminds you so much of Watson. He gets back there, and then all of a sudden he's all over the place.
I'm not going to lie to you, Randy. I've seen enough DTR. I'm good. I'm good.
I've got my opinion on
DTR of, hey, man, I hope you have a long career in this league. I don't think you are a starting quarterback in this league. You might be a backup. You might be a third stringer. I don't think it's here. If they decide to go that route, it's probably because of injury more than anything else, because at least with Jameis, as much as he throws picks all over the place, I can at least look at what the offense looks like with Jameis at the helm and go, all right, is Elijah Moore something worth investing in? Is it worth me to look at Cedric Tillman and go, okay, that is somebody that I can build around in the future. I have one of the pillars of my franchise.
Yeah, I like that Tillman. He's tough. He couldn't get open last week, but he's good. One more quick question. Would it have been possible if Haslam had put an insurance policy out on Watson, or is because it was guaranteed, you can't do that?
You could get it to pay off the contract if there was something, but you're still on the hook with the NFL and the cap.
Right. So Mike Florio put out a whole thing on this on Pro Football Talk when the Watson injury happened, that there is some level of insurance on it. So the Browns will get some kind of cash back,
but that
will go into Jimmy Haslam's pocket.
Right. That's just money. That's not cap.
Yeah. That doesn't affect the cap at all. That'll just go into Jimmy Haslam's pocket.
Chris Easterling from the Beacon Journal joining us at 11:20 to talk Browns. Marcus is in Aurora.
How you been, Marcus?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're well.
Listen, the Browns need to take the best left tackle in the draft, or Travis Hunter.
Agreed.
Or Mikel Williams. They don't need the quarterback. Wait a year and draft a prodigy. You can trade up and get Arch.
Agreed.
Get Arch. I love
scream
that.
Scream it from the mountaintops. Listen, to all of these people who are like, we need Shedeur Sanders. We need Cam Ward. No.
Well, Shador's not going to come here, though, because Deion doesn't want him in Cleveland. Deion's going to pull the Manning thing, which it's his right to do. But listen, Travis Hunter, if you could get him, I'd get him. I don't know that their record will be bad enough to get him. But you got to take a left tackle or take that edge from Georgia, because you got to worry about Ward's concussions. Garrett's not getting any younger. And everybody knows I'd rather see DeJuan Jones at right tackle when you draft the left tackle, man. I mean, that's what I do. So I appreciate you guys giving me a little airtime. Thank
you. Scream it, Marcus. Yes, yes, yes. But
Marcus is already looking at the draft. I like that kind of, but I hate it.
I can't stand it either, but it's – I've been watching an okay amount of college football. I am not a savant or anything. I'm not somebody who sits there like just grinding tape and all that stuff. I go – read Dane Brugler. I go read PFF. I go read Rob Rang. I go read everybody, all the draft nicks that you trust. And every single one of them has come back and said the same exact thing, which is that this quarterback draft isn't that great. This is the left tackle draft, or this is the DN draft. I like Travis Hunter. I'm interested to see if Travis Hunter is amazing at the NFL level like he is at Colorado. I'd be really fascinated by it. But yeah. Yes, I am not taking the quarterback here. I'm not taking Cam Ward. I'm not taking Shedeur Sanders. We're not doing Drew Aller. We're not doing any of that stuff. Like, no. Go get the left tackle. Go get the defensive end. Go get a DB.
If Drew Aller comes out.
Right, which he easily could not do. And that's fine, man. That's his choice. And not to mention, these kids are making money now, so it makes the decision a little bit tougher.
I wonder if you'd want to come here if you're from here.
Like, no to Carson Beck. I don't want Carson Beck. I'm good.
And you're going down the draft road too soon.
No to Quinn Ewers. I'm good.
You don't like Quinn Ewers?
Yeah, it's fine. I'd rather be in next year.
We need another 6'1 quarterback. Is that the point?
From Texas? I'd rather hop in next year. Give me the shot where I can go get one of these kids that are just flinging it in college football and are a year away. That's where I want to be.
Which still means you better have somebody to play quarterback next year and maybe the year after that, right?
I mean, our buddy Nick Wilson threw it out there on the X. You know, Mac Jones is going to start this week in Jacksonville. He'll be a free agent.
Well, he was stellar in New England.
He was poor. But you know, if your goal is Arch, poor will get you Arch.
Can I give you a DTR thought here? It's this.
I've heard worse ideas.
Thanks. Everybody wants to see DTR. Okay, I understand it. We're all hoping that the team can maybe get lucky and find a franchise quarterback and blah, 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 blah. Let me give a comparison. Dak Prescott is out in Dallas, and he's out for at least, have they officially put him on the IR? Did they officially do that?
They did that yesterday. Jerry told the media that apparently that hamstring is torn off the bone.
And that's the point. So IR means 4 games.
Right.
If your hamstring, first of all, if you've ever had a hamstring injury, it can take months to heal.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And if you've torn it off the bone, that could be season ending.
And the minute it starts feeling better, you end up yanking it again.
Exactly right. They're going to go with Cooper Rush as their starting quarterback, though they have Trey Lance sitting there. Now, hold on. I'm intrigued by Trey Lance. But if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you traded for Trey Lance, who the Niners, and you know, you before you bash Trey Lance, your boy Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch thought it was a good idea to trade multiple number ones to move up to draft the guy.
And the best thing that they did was realize he wasn't the guy and get him the hell out of town.
Maybe. Or if you're the Cowboys, you're thinking he's played basically 1 year in college. That was it. At North Dakota State, and has had minimal NFL experience. If you go back and look at his game logs when he was with the Niners, he had a couple of moments. I'm stunned that the Cowboys at 3-5 are not playing Trey Lance. Now, if they lose a couple of games, I think it's more important for them to play Trey Lance than it would be for the Browns to play DTR. And here's another thought for you. If the Browns are looking for a quarterback for next year, Trey Lance is a guy to put on the list. Now, Dan, you're laughing.
Yes.
It's not a fair thing to do to the kid. But no, but you've got $46 million
right.
tied up in one guy.
You're at the yard sale. You've got to deal with the yard sale prices. You're going to go with slightly used.
Sorry.
You're going to go with dented.
Exactly.
You're at the yard sale.
And it's working pretty damn well for the Pittsburgh Steelers so far.
Right.
Between Justin Fields, who they got for a song, and Russell Wilson, who they're not paying, they're sitting pretty. And that's what the Browns are going to have to do. And the Browns are also going to have the you-know-whats to tell Deshaun, you're sitting. You're not our quarterback. This kid is, this veteran is, this whoever is.
You're right. It's just one of those, I laugh because it's the situation that you're in, and you're right. We're going to the yard sale in the offseason. I mean, that's really the best way to put it. You're going to go find slightly used. You're going to find scratch and dent. You're going to find all of those kind of things.
Because you have to.
That's where it is.
Because you have to.
You have so much invested in this.
Hey, if Jameis goes out and plays well, he probably prices himself out.
It's why I could see where people are coming out and going, no, draft a quarterback here, because quarterbacks in the draft
under
are really cheap. Cheap and hope.
Yep.
That's what they bring you, cheap and hope. And that's what everybody is holding on to right now, cheap and hope.
They're
going
to have to be creative in a quarterback for next year. And creative could mean Jameis on a short deal. It could mean DTR. It could mean you go get a guy like Trey Lance. It could be that you go and get a guy like let's say Tennessee makes a move and Will Levis becomes available.
I mean, the fact that Ryan Tannehill is still unemployed.
If Malik Willis.
Right, I think Ryan Tannehill's still unemployed.
Yes, if Malik Willis is available in Green Bay.
Who's run a triple option.
Who's done a nice backup job for Jordan Love. Larry's in Cleveland. Larry, you got about 30 seconds.
Cleveland Browns playing Service Academy ball? That could be a good time.
What's up, Larry?
Oh, you got it.
Oh, I did click it, and it didn't. There we go. Hi, Larry. Sorry, buddy.
Hey, man. I'd like to say, man, I'm on a cold day, on a cool, nice day, man. We need to go ahead and clear house, get rid of the coach, offensive coordinator, because, man, there's no way the heck that team is supposed to win from 11 to 5 to 2 and 6, man. Come on. It ain't just the quarterback either, gentlemen. It come from, man, you need, man, I go get Mark Vrabel, man, and go get the offensive coordinator and run a team, man. You need somebody with some inspiration, motivation, some desire to been here, that know how to win, that with an attitude, man. Look at, like the coach of Kansas City. You know how he win? He motivated. You need a motivator. You need a go-getter, a leader. And that comes along. That comes along the way due to the fact how this you got to win no matter what, man. If you see the
like Bill Belichick was, he was a cheerleader on the sidelines. There are a lot of different ways to do it. You don't need a cheerleader. You got a guy who's a good NFL head coach. He's not the problem.
I like Kevin Stefanski. I think he's really good. I think he's a smart head coach. I think he's a smart play designer. I think he's a smart play caller who got saddled with a bad situation.
Chris Easterling covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal. He's going to join us next here on Baskin and Phelps. He does an outstanding job of covering the Browns for the Beacon Journal. It's based out of Akron. Go to ohio.com. And you can read everything that Chris Easterling writes about the team. Hello, Chris. How are you, bud?
All right, Chris.
Not too bad, fellas. How you doing?
Thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it. We're doing okay. We chatted in the last hour, and Dan and I both watched Thursday Night Football last night, and the same thing struck each of us. It was, man, what am I learning about the Browns by watching this game? And the thing that hit me first and foremost, Chris, was as if we didn't know. Boy, do I understand why the Browns thought they needed to go get a big-time quarterback to compete with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson for the next 5 to 7 to 10 years. But, boy, they sure missed the boat. And I wonder what happens next.
Yes. I mean, and how long does it take for them to get to the point where they can get that guy? You know, because you missed the boat. And now you have to try to find that guy again. And, you know, you're going to get a high pick this year probably in a year where the quarterback class is lacking, for lack of a better term, where, you know, finding even a bridge guy. You might have your bridge guy on the roster in Jameis, you know, if they get some done. But, boy, each passing day, that trade just looks worse and worse because not just the – how little it's paid off in the past and present, but how much is just an anchor on this franchise for the future.
So Andrew Berry addressed the media on Wednesday in a press conference that I believe I looked at Jeff and Andy and went, what the hell just got said? What did you take away from that press conference?
I might be reading too much between the lines.
Okay, good. We need some of that. Let's go.
I think they said they're done with Deshaun Watson.
I think you might be right because he had every opportunity to say he was a starter next year and he didn't do it.
Right. There's a way to say what they said, which is, look, he's coming. He just suffered a significant injury. And right now we're only worried about, you know, him getting healthy. And these guys won't see on Friday who's starting on Sunday. So them not, you know, tipping their hand as to what's going on next year, you know, isn't out of the realm of possibility, you know, granting that. But you say that, but you also say we believe in Deshaun. Deshaun is our guy if he's your guy. You don't give – there's always a possibility. There was too much tap dancing around it for you to think anything other than these guys are trying to think and come up with an exit strategy from this anchor that is the Deshaun Watson contract and everything that has come with. Quite frankly, it's going to go down as the worst deal in the history of the NFL.
Chris, what is a possible exit strategy? And do you think it's viable that he's on this team and is the second or third string quarterback. Could that possibly be the solution?
Achilles tendon injuries, they say, is it 9 months, 12 years?
9 months might be 12 years.
I mean, that might work. I mean, if it happened to me, it would be 12 years. I can guarantee you.
9 to 12 months to recover. So what's 9 months? Is it, it's right about July, isn't it? That, you know, you would be able, you would think you'd be able, if the full recovery, that he'd be able to start doing football things, it would seem like. So that puts you right up at training camp. Well, we've seen how they handle anybody who's coming off an injury in training camp. Assuming, again, we're dealing with the same front office head coach combination next year. So that means you probably don't see him much during training camp. So, you know, put him on the PUP list and ride that out as long as you can, because at some point you're going to have to make a move, because the NFLPA will no doubt, you know, object to just, you know, stashing somebody on the you know, on some injury list if they're able to play football. But, you know, I think it gives them a little bit, at least initially, maybe the chance for an out at the beginning of next year. But you're right, at some point you're going to have to make a decision, and I think at that point you just, you hope you could ride it out enough to where the cap hit is manageable enough. I mean, it's never going to be manageable, but it's manageable enough that you can deal with it and move on from him. Because, you know, he deserves every dollar. I mean, you made the mistake of signing him to that contract, so, you know, there's not going to be any, you know,
There's no give back by the player here,
no.
Chris. And you're right, there shouldn't be.
There's no give back from the player.
Yeah, there shouldn't be.
But at the same time, you know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe, you know, but, no, I think that the recovery time does give them a lead up to figuring something out, maybe, assuming, you know, that's ultimately what they do.
Well, and Chris, so like everybody's using the parallel of the Russell Wilson contract in Denver and pointing to that one. But that took Sean Payton coming in after a previous regime signed him. Sean Payton comes in, gives it a shot for a year, and then was able to go to, I mean, probably general manager, but definitely ownership, and then say, I can't win with this guy. We got to go a different direction. I don't know if anybody in that Browns organization has the pull of a Sean Payton to go up to Jimmy Haslam and say, I can't win with this guy.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of people in that organization to swallow a little bit of pride, to swallow some pride and just acknowledge what doesn't work. And it's obvious it's not working. And, you know, yeah, are there other factors involved? Yes, but he didn't look like a quarterback who was comfortable at any point in time over those six plus games he played, you know, slow delivery. I mean, everything we saw, I mean, it wasn't just because he had, you know, offensive linemen down, because, you know, they had two backup tackles last December and a statue of a quarterback somehow managed to throw for 300 yards every game. I mean, so, you know, it was more pocket awareness, you know, indecisiveness, that sort of thing. But somebody's going to have to make a decision, make a call. I mean, or maybe this is what ultimately leads to a change, you know, and a change elsewhere in the organization. I don't know. But, you know, this is, the only way you move on is for some key decision makers in that organization and the ownership to sort of swallow a little bit of pride, realize, look, it's time to cut bait. I mean, we're just, every year we keep doing this, we just set our franchise back even further, because guys like Myles Garrett aren't getting any, Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller aren't getting any younger, and, you know, we're going to be out of our window if they not already are, out of their window before we come anywhere close to, you know, being ready to figure the quarterback position out.
Chris Easterling joining us. He's the Browns beat reporter for the Beacon Journal. You can read his work at the Beacon at ohio.com. Chris, the Jameis Winston, I won't call it an experiment, the era, let's call it the era, started against the worst pass defense in the NFL in the Ravens. And we saw, you know, we saw it get shredded again last night by a great quarterback in Joe Burrow. Then you go up against the stingiest defense in the NFL, and Jameis didn't play well against the Chargers. Where is the real Jameis Winston? Do we have any idea yet? And do you think there's any way that he's the quarterback of this team next year?
One, I think there's a chance. It's going to, I think it's going to take some, you know, things playing out over the course of the next couple of months, and also what opportunities maybe Jameis has, it's probably going to be a situation where he goes free agency, then comes back if he does. But I mean, the real Jameis Winston is somewhere between what you saw against Baltimore and what you saw against the Chargers. I mean, that's the Jameis Winston experience. I think it is a roller coaster. It's funny because, my colleague and friend Nate Ulrich, who was covered the Browns before I did, we did predictions for that game, and he said, this is the Jameis, a three interception game's on its way. Well, sure enough, because that's Jameis Winston, this is sort of what you sign up for when you sign up for Jameis Winston. And I think there's more good than bad. I think they're going to win some more games with Jameis, in part because I look at some of the teams they play and there's opportunities there. But look, you just have to accept that he's going. It's sort of like Joe last year. You sort of had to accept that, it's the same sort of mentality, that gunslinger mentality, that I'm going to throw it over the mountains. And a defender might intercept it on the way there, but that's what you just have to deal with Joe Flacco or Jameis Winston.
And at least Jameis lets you look at the rest of this offense, Chris, and figure out who's a keeper and where you got to look in a draft or in free agency next year.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. This is the best thing that could possibly happen to Cedric Tillman's career. I don't believe Elijah Moore is going to be here next year, but in terms of him finding someplace else to hook on to, this is the best thing for him. This is the best thing for this whole organization, is because at least you get a real opportunity to evaluate some of these pieces at the skill position spots, because the quarterback isn't preventing you from doing that. And the quarterback was preventing you from doing that over the first six games.
Chris, what do you think of the Ken Dorsey offensive coordinator role now calling plays? Is this working? Is it not working? Was Kevin grasping at straws, or has Kevin made the right move?
I don't think it's been a bad move. I think at some point, you're just trying, at that point they were just trying to find something, anything to change the narrative about that offense. And I think Kevin finally said, who I think is a good play caller. I do. He didn't get to this point, without being, that's a strength of his. And I think he's good. Are there questions? But there's questions about every play caller at some point. But I think this was him going, here, fine, let's let, this is what you want, let's see it. And, Ken has done, I think, a fine job. I mean, I don't notice, I'm not breaking every single, route down, but it looks pretty much the same, because they've said all along, this is been a collaborative effort. It's not just, Kevin was calling the plays, but Ken had input. You could watch him and see the input that Ken and Chad O'Shea and the others in that offensive staff had on that offense. So I think it's just, you know, it's a different vantage point. It's a different, you know, style, maybe rhythm. And I do think it gives Kevin a chance to step back. And with such a critical 8 games left, to nothing else, evaluate the roster and see where this organization needs to go in the offseason to get back to the playoffs, it at least gives him something, you know, a clearer view, because he's not, you know, he's not thinking of the next play he has to call.
Chris Easterling joining us, BeaconJournalOhio.com. Do you think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are in their positions next year?
For now, yes, I do. Now, let's see how these next 8 games go, because a lot can change over. But I think, at right now, if I had to put money on it, I would wager both are back. Because I think they're both – I don't think you can separate the two, if that makes sense. You know, I think they're a package deal. You know, the extension was done as a package deal. They were hired basically as a package deal. They are connected, right, wrong, and different. They're connected, and I think they'll get a chance, because I think the Haslams do trust both of them and believe in both of them. I think they're going to get an opportunity to dig themselves out, because it's so close to what they saw last year. I mean, they're less than a year removed from a playoff appearance. So, you know, I think they're going to get that opportunity, barring a complete final 8 game meltdown.
Chris, on the defensive side of the ball, with Za'Darius Smith being traded to the Detroit Lions, who do you think takes over the role as the starting defensive end? Is it Oboe? Is it Isaiah McGuire? Who do you think takes over?
I mean, if you're just going by experience, it would be Oboe, but I think Isaiah McGuire is the guy they really want to see what they have here. I mean, you know, he's second year, and everybody develops, you know, a different pace. But, you know, this was about the time, if we could think back to, 2023, where Alex Wright started to take a step forward. You know, the second half of last year, Alex Wright had, I thought, really started to show signs of, oh, he's getting it. He's starting to make plays. And I think they're really, you know, in a way excited to see if Isaiah McGuire can take that next step, because if he can take that next step, you have two young guys in Wright, assuming he comes back healthy from the surgery he underwent, and McGuire, that you can sort of build off. You know, you can sort of, hey, we have guys. We can, you know, we're finally stockpiling some young guys on that, you know, on this defense, on that defensive line to run alongside Miles, who, you know, let's be honest, he's getting up there in years. You know, he's not old by any stretch. I would never call him old. But, you know, he is, you know, several years into the league. So I think that's what they really want to see is, you know, can Isaiah McGuire take some of the steps forward that Alex Wright did a year ago?
Chris, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the bye week and get back to it next week, bud.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, fellas.
Chris Easterling, BeaconJournalOhio.com, does a great job of covering the Browns, and he joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. There's some things going on in Tampa, St. Pete right now involving that stadium and that team that might make you think a few things, and anxious to get BA's thoughts on that, plus the Guardians. We're going to talk some Guardians in a second here, but Menigan prides himself on finding off-the-beaten-path things to talk about.
Well, this one more than anything.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing. I wasn't done teeing you up.
Well, then, my apologies, please.
Perhaps he's either outdone himself on this one, or this is the end of Menigan trying to find things off the beaten path.
This is more of just an FYI, be safe to anybody who is out there than anything else.
So we're a public service thing, is what you're saying.
Because thanks to the Odyssey app, you can listen to us anytime, anywhere in the country, right? And possibly out of the country. There's an ongoing argument about that one.
Okay.
If you are listening to us and you live in South Carolina, listen up. Because there's a problem where 43 monkeys have escaped from a research facility in South Carolina. And they are advising everybody in the general Yamassee area to lock their windows and lock their doors because there are 43 monkeys just running around all over the place like this is Jumanji.
Didn't I see this on an episode of Law and Order?
It may have been one of them. So these primates are on the loose as of Thursday evening. They have not caught any of them.
You're gonna go primates? You just can't call them.
I'm reading it directly from the CNN piece.
Cute little fellas. Cute little fellas.
This is from the CNN piece that I'm taking this from. They are believed to be in the wooded region surrounding the Alpha Genesis Primate Research Center.
Well, sure.
According to the police department, they have informed people that residents are strongly advised to keep doors and windows secure to prevent these animals from entering homes. Because, you know, they do look friendly, but they are monkeys in the same way.
They have a tendency to trash things up. You let them in the house, you're going to have to call a cleaner.
They're fun. They get ornery. Supposedly, you don't really need to worry about rabies because they haven't been tested on or anything like that. So you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But good golly, be careful if you're in South Carolina because the last thing you need is a monkey to climb into the house and come say hi or to come home and see your kid playing in a dollhouse with a monkey.
It's a great idea.
They are fun.
So if you happen to travel to the Carolinas and you see monkeys, he's Dan Menigan, and he's here to serve you.
According to the police chief, they are described as being very skittish and will congregate in groups.
Really?
They are nonviolent, but may be growing restless due to hunger. Yup.
We know that feeling.
That's what we need, a bunch of hungry monkeys running around. That's going to turn out well.
Hungry monkeys, huh?
That's going to turn out great.
It sounds like a movie.
This has happened before in the area, too, in 2016, so this isn't the first time.
And they put it on Law and Order.
That the monkeys are wild, but hey, just an FYI to anybody in South Carolina. Don't feed the animals, but also stay away from the animals.
Okay. Dan Menigan, here to serve you.
That's what I'm here for.
Brian Anderson's going to join us coming up at noon. Guardians so far and this offseason, relatively quiet. Relatively quiet. They re-signed Austin Hedges to a one-year deal. I think that's, well, good for Austin Hedges. I saw a trade rumor. Was it Brendan Donovan from the Cardinals, who is a pretty good hitter and can play multiple positions and is under team control for about four more years, three more years? That was an interesting thing. But I want to ask you about this. I want your thought on this. And I'm probably a little biased. I'm still getting over the Oscar Gonzalez situation.
I know. I'm sorry. That room still remains open. I know a tear drops down your cheek every time you walk by and see that perfectly manicured bed.
Would you not want to see more of John Kenzie Noel before you think about putting somebody else in right field on a regular basis, taking away at bats? I think he's the type of guy, and I know the whole swing and miss thing. I thought he was okay. He obviously has some power.
Mm-hmm. He's got an arm.
His defense is so
faster
much
faster than you think.
He's so much better than you would think as an all-around player for a guy who's 6'3", 250, and looks like nothing but a masher. He's not. Now, his batting average is not real good.
He does swing and miss a lot, and I'm cool with swing and miss. I can get over that if you're going to hit the ball over the fence.
My God, he had some phenomenal moments for us. Postseason, he was outstanding on one swing. Overall, he hit 095. in the postseason.
Yeah, but it led to everybody having arguably some of the best home run calls of their career, which will forever go down.
That was the only on that home run, all you had to do was this. That was it. That's a good home run call.
Brian Anderson saying Merry Christmas. Rafa singing Feliz Navidad was an all-timer if you could find that call. That was so good.
Wouldn't you want to see more of this guy?
It's outstanding.
Because if you make a trade, and I get the idea of going out and getting a bat. I get that. But I kind of want to see if he can't be the guy.
So the question I have when it comes to Jenkenzi Noel is a parallel question with another position, which is, what are you doing at first base?
And DH? I think three spots might be tied together.
Well, because your DH thing might be solved, because I don't know how much David Fry you're going to see this season. So
we don't know how
some of your DH woes.
And we don't know how much of David Fry we're going to see at the beginning of the season, so you might need somebody.
Right. And if he does come back, if David Fry, because with that UCL surgery that he had done, he's done for the year in the field. So I don't know if they're going to be rolling to be like, hey, man, we need you to come back because we need your bat in the lineup. I don't know, because he cooled off in the second half pretty.
He was phenomenal in the first half, made the All-Star team, and in the second half he was a nondescript journeyman.
Yeah, it felt like the fall, autumn breeze coming in about July for him.
But still had some great moments. Still had some great moments. We'll talk a little Guardians with Brian Anderson. Brian's coming up next, right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.